Welcome to the InnovaBus podcast, where our job is to help you build visibility, professional credibility, and connection with your ideal client by putting the human at the center of innovative marketing, so you can build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship with your ideal clients. I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm honored that you're here with me. If you haven't yet joined our wonderful Flywheel Nation community, go to flywheelnation.com and join in the podcast conversations. Do subscribe to the show and also leave a review because it helps others find us. Let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
The only conclusion I came to, and again, this was through a fair bit of research and pulling together a whole lot of different strands from religion and psychology and personal growth and all in science, the only conclusion I came to is if we've got problems in our life and we're not designed to have problems because problems don't help us live our biological purpose, then we must be using this thing the wrong way because this thing is simply a machine. It's programmed to ensure that everything happens in your life to make you the best that you can be. That's what it's constantly working to do. So if you're not using it the right way, like any machine, the only consequence is you end up with problems.
Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited today to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast from just across the pond, as we say here in Australia, from Auckland in New Zealand, Liam Naden, who's an entrepreneur, a business owner, and a self-described rabid student of success. Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, Liam. It's a great privilege to have you as my guest.
Thank you, Jürgen. I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks very much.
Now, one of the things I did have to clarify before we started recording was where you actually are. You're from New Zealand originally, but you live as a digital nomad, and you're telling me that you live on boats, on motorhomes, and travel the world at the same time while running your business. So that's one thing I'd love to dig into. You're also a speaker, a teacher, author, and you help people who are already successful, and that might be all of us. Another one I want to explore some more, to understand how to use their brain in the right way. So lots of things for us to explore today. Before we get on to many of those topics, what's the impact you're hoping to make in the world today, Liam?
Well, I guess the main message I'm trying to help people understand is that we all make life far more difficult than it needs to be. And they're actually, we are biological beings and we fit into a biological world. And there's so much about our biology that controls not only who we are and how we function, but it also controls how successful we are. And it's as simple and fundamental a law of success, the natural law of success, as other laws like the law of gravity. But most of us have forgotten or we've never been taught how we naturally are designed for success. And so my mission, really, the impact I want to have, is to help people understand who they really are, how we function biologically, and how we can get into the flow of success rather than spending all our time struggling to achieve success, which doesn't really work.
Yeah, often we struggle against barriers that we've created ourselves, right, which is the overcomplication you mentioned.
Absolutely. Well, the thing is that all struggle is unnatural. And when you realize that and when you realize you're not wired to struggle, and when you struggle at anything, what you're actually doing is trying to achieve success the wrong way, then you can actually start to make progress. But struggle is the enemy, actually, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to explore that some more. But one of the things you mentioned, the biology that we're all wired for success, and I know you talk about the brain and how we can use it more effectively and the four parts. So talk to us a little bit about that whole idea.
Okay, well, I stumbled upon this idea after a few decades of being a really successful entrepreneur. You know, I've had 18 different businesses in my life. Some of them have been really successful, others not so much. But all of the time that I was building my businesses, I was always stressed, always struggling, because what I was trying to do was force success to happen. And I did that by always setting higher goals, trying to get more information, trying to learn more, you know, being really motivated by this idea that I want to be the best that I can be. I want to have a great life. I want to be rich. You know, I want to be have the freedom to do the things I want to do. And I also studied lots of different approaches to how to be more successful, including the whole area of personal growth, personal development, motivation, goal setting, changing your beliefs, changing your subconscious mind and your thoughts, all of these different things, these different lots of different ideas and strategies and techniques, as well as studying religion and spirituality. So I did all of these things and I became really quite successful. I became a multimillionaire. I had the freedom. I had the multiple houses, the multiple businesses, the lifestyle of travel. But I never really felt, here's the irony of it, I never really felt that successful. I kept thinking, there's got to be something more to this. I'm missing out on something. So I need to set a bigger goal. And of course, the other thing I had was lots of stress, lots of problems. And I started to buy into the idea, and I'm sure I read it in more than one book, which says, you know, problems, they're just a natural part of success. You have to learn, if you want to be successful and if you want to stay successful, you have to learn how to overcome your problems and you have to learn how to live with them. Now, I subsequently found that all of that actually isn't true. But anyway, what happened was here was I going along, barreling, chasing success, achieving it, but always thinking, I have to have more. There's got to be more to this because I'm still not really that satisfied deep inside. In my mid-40s, something happened that was never on my goals list. It was never planned, and it should never have happened to someone like me who was an expert on success. You know, I could quote all the books. I'd been to all the seminars, or lots of seminars, courses, done all these things. But in my mid-40s, here I was, and I literally went from being a multimillionaire to losing everything and becoming homeless, literally overnight. You know, I lost everything. I had to move in and sleep on the sofa with my elderly mother in her small apartment. I had to sleep in the living room on the sofa. You know, and there I was thinking, why has this happened to me? What am I missing here? I've studied everything to do with success. I've had all my goals lists and my vision boards and my beliefs written down and my affirmations, and I've done NLP and all of these different strategies, and I'm really motivated. But what do I do now? And I had no clue what to do, because there were two questions that kept coming to my mind as I lay on the sofa trying to get to sleep. One was, why has this happened to me? As I say, because I thought I knew everything. And secondly, what do I do now? And I was in the situation where I literally was in a town where I knew nobody. I had no income. I had no prospects. As I say, I didn't know anybody. I didn't have a clue on what to do. And what I didn't realize that it was at that time that it created a shift in my perspective. And what I ultimately realized later was the way I was actually using my brain that maybe do something different. And when I rebuilt my life, it went in a completely different direction. I started to create new businesses, online businesses mainly, and I was starting to make a really good income again, really good money. And I attracted a new partner. My marriage had gone with everything else. So I attracted a new partner who was far better than any, you know, a far better relationship than I'd ever had before. And I started to do some amazing things that made me feel really great. Like you mentioned in the introduction, I started traveling around the world in my own yacht. I mean, that was never on my goals list. All these unexpected great things were happening. So I wanted to figure out what I was doing differently because I wanted to make sure I kept doing it. And one of the things I remember thinking, one of the big differences between my life before and my life after, whereas before I'd been chasing after success. I'd always been, as I mentioned earlier, trying to figure out the next goal, the next thing to do, the next business opportunity, the next way to make more money, the next way to be more successful. So I was really pushing hard all the time and learning as much as I could, setting bigger goals. And with that came the struggle of problems and stress, which I just said, well, that's naturally part of it. But what was strange was this time around, it was very weird. It was like, instead of me chasing after success, in a strange way, it felt like success was coming after me. Because instead of me having to push and struggle, what I found was the right person would show up at the right time, or the right idea would come to me at the right time, the right opportunity. I'd make better decisions. You know, I used to make terrible decisions because I was so stressed. I'm sure as an entrepreneur, we can all relate to making bad decisions. And think, why did I do that? But anyway, I was making much better decisions and my life was so much better. And I thought, what's missing? What's missing is the stress and the problems. It's like things are just falling into place. Why is this happening? Is it just luck? Is it coincidence? There's something very strange going on here. And that's when I decided I need to figure out what I've been missing. And that led me down a track to discover, well, what I really did was I started with square one and said, well, what am I missing? Maybe there's a way things work that I'm not aware of. So I took it right back to basics and I actually started to explore the science of who we are and why we're here. And what I realized is that all science, every scientist, every biological scientist, if you were to ask them, what's the purpose of your life? Or more importantly, what's the purpose of all life? What is the biological purpose of all life? And science has actually answered that question very well and very thoroughly and come to the conclusion that the purpose of all biological life, including your biological life, the number one purpose is to survive. That's what everything is wired to do, is for survival above all else. And what that means is that the organism, including you, if you're wired for survival, what gives you the greatest chance for survival? It's being the best that you can be. When you're your healthiest, strongest, both physically and mentally and emotionally, in other words, when you're happy, when you're doing the things you should be doing, when you're feeling energized, when life is going really well, you are being the best that you can be, and you're actually living your biological purpose. That's the way all of life is designed to be, the best that it can be, so that it has the greatest chance for survival. And I thought, well, this is interesting. And as I went further down the rabbit hole, I thought, well, has nature provided anything to make that happen? If that is how all of nature is wired to survive by being the best that it can be, what has nature provided to enable every living thing to achieve that? And of course, the conclusion is a brain. The brain is the instrument or the machine that every living thing has been provided with to ensure that it's the best that it can be so that it has the greatest chance for survival. So when you think about it, if you think your purpose and how you're supposed to be is the best you can be, that means not having problems, means not having stress. It means doing all of the right things at the right time to give you the best experience of life possible, including to make you feel happy and fulfilled and realizing you're being your best, then why don't we feel like that? Why are most of us struggling? Why was I struggling? And the only conclusion I came to, and again, this was through a fair bit of research and pulling together a whole lot of different strands from religion and psychology and personal growth and all in science, the only conclusion I came to is if we've got problems in our life and we're not designed to have problems because problems don't help us live our biological purpose, then we must be using this thing the wrong way, because this thing is simply a machine. It's programmed to ensure that everything happens in your life to make you the best that you can be. That's what it's constantly working to do. So if you're not using it the right way, like any machine, the only consequence is you end up with problems. And that's really was the missing link, the aha moment, was this is what most people are missing. They're trying to make their life work like I had been, but they're not using the machine the right way. And all that happens is you struggle and you end up with problems. It's a little bit like a motor car. We all know what a motor car is. It's a machine that's designed to get you from where you are to where you want to go. And it's not like it's a difficult thing. That's what it's designed to do. And it's going to do that efficiently, predictably, guaranteed, if you use it the right way. In other words, if you sit in the driver's seat and enjoy the ride and do what you need to do to make it happen. But you're not getting yourself there. You're directing the machine. But if you didn't know how a car worked and you were to stand behind it and you thought, I need to try and figure out how this works. Ah, it's got wheels. I know, I'll stand behind it and I'll push it along. So there, imagine what would happen. You wouldn't get very far, if anywhere. You'd exhaust yourself and you wouldn't get a very good result. And you'd be saying, or what you might be saying if you didn't know how the car worked, you'd say, I'm the problem. I'm not trying hard enough. I'm not motivated enough. I'm not strong enough. I need to work on developing my muscles so I can push it harder. Whereas someone else would come along to you and say, you're making it far too hard. It's not supposed to be difficult. It's supposed to be an enjoyable ride. You're supposed to use the machine in the way it's designed to be used. And this is how you do it. So that's really how I came across this whole thing.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit more about your model then for using your brain in the most efficient, optimal way.
Okay, sure. Well, this is all based on science, and there are lots of scientific terms and jargon I could use, but I've simplified it down to a model that anyone can understand. But essentially, there are four parts to your brain, and these are all physical parts. So we're not talking here about, you know, the subconscious mind or the conscious mind or anything sort of theoretical or spiritual or whatever you like to call it. This is biology. This is parts of your brain that have different functions. So the first part of your brain is what I call your rational thinking brain. And your rational thinking brain, it's actually mainly contained in a part of your brain called the neocortex, which is the top of your head. But the rational thinking brain, the purpose of that is to act like a library or a database or a storage house of every piece of information that you pick up during your lifetime. So everything and every moment that you experience through your senses and through your thoughts, it's taken into the rational thinking brain and stored there so that you can use that information later. You can label things. You can say, ah, that's a tree, not a horse. And then you can talk to someone else and you can both, you can put labels on things so we can communicate. So that's a tree. Yes, we agree it's a tree. But all it is it's a library, a collection of your experience. So that's your rational thinking brain. Obviously very useful and vital for survival. The second part is located just below your neocortex, your rational thinking brain, and it's what I call your emotional feeling brain. And this is pretty obvious what this does. This is responsible for how you feel. So it creates emotions and feelings through chemicals that it releases to determine whether you feel good or bad or whatever emotion that it is. The third part of your brain is located at the back of your head, and it's what I call your survival brain. And the survival brain, this is what manages, as the name suggests, your moment-by-moment survival without you having to think about it. Everything that you don't have to think about that helps your survival, this is managed by this part of your brain. So obviously it's all your physical functions, you know, your breathing, your heart rate, every organ in your body, the workings of that. But there's one other very important part of your survival that has to happen without you thinking about it, that's managed by this part of your brain. And that's what happens when you're barreling along in your life and you're confronted by a threat or a danger to your survival, something that comes at you out of the blue. And there's a weapon or a tool within the survival brain to deal with that, and it's called your fight or flight response. I'm sure we've all heard of that one. So what happens is, when your brain perceives a danger, it activates your fight or flight response in your survival brain, and it gets you to react. So it might be, you know, someone comes towards you and looks like they're going to hit you. So you automatically put your hands up, or you run away, or you shout for help. All of those things, they're just this automatic response. And it's really important that it is automatic, because you don't want to think about it. You might not have time to think about it. So that's really important. So those are the first three parts, your rational thinking brain, your emotional feeling brain, and your survival brain. But there's another part of your brain, which is the most important part, and it's what I call your creative brain. And this is located in the very center of the head. And more recently, science is starting to uncover and realize that this part of your brain is a separate part. In fact, we could talk a little bit later, but religion has described this part of your brain ever since recorded history. We've been taught about this, but very few of us know about it, and even few of us know how to use it. But your creative brain, what this is, this is essentially the master of your life. This is the part of your brain that determines you being the best that you can be, living your biological purpose, because this part of your brain contains all of your imagination, all of your creativity, all of your intuition, all of your higher awareness of what's going on in your life and in your world. And it's also where your problem-solving ability resources actually are. They're not in your thinking brain. They're in your creative brain. And the reason for that, I'm sure we've all had this experience where we've had these gut feelings about something, you know, an intuition. Oh, I should do that or I shouldn't do that. It's not something that you've thought about. It's just an idea that comes to you. This is all your this is coming from your creative brain, a separate function in your head, a separate place in your head. And we've probably had the experience where you've been wrestling with a problem and you're distracted, or you go to bed and a few weeks later you wake up and you suddenly think of the answer to the problem. And you go, where did that come from? Why didn't I think of that before? This is all coming from your creative brain. So the really important thing to realize is two things about the four parts of your brain. One is it's your creative brain that runs the show if you want to be the best that you can be, if you want to live your biological purpose, if you want to have that sense of fulfillment and what many people have described as a feeling of being in the flow, being in the zone. You know, great athletes talk about the state where it's almost effortless performance. Something takes over, this energy. They're not putting in the struggle, they're flowing. You know, creators such as musicians have talked about, or composers have said, I just heard this music and I wrote it down. I don't know where it came from. This is all coming from the creative brain. So the whole purpose of how you're supposed to run your life is you're supposed to be living with your creative brain activated pretty well all the time. There's only one time when you shouldn't be using your creative brain. In fact, when your creative brain is not useful at all, and that is when you are presented with a threat or a danger, when something comes at you that is could harm you or even kill you. Now, the creative brain actually isn't of any use in that situation, because it's no point, you know, being aware of the beautiful surroundings when someone's about to hit you or some danger is about to befall you. So you need to switch your brain. And the way it does that is it actually happens in your emotional feeling brain, which acts like a sentry. It's continually in every second scanning your environment and making the decision, is this safe or is this dangerous? And when it's safe, it sends chemicals to the rest of your brain and the rest of your body that make you feel good. Now, those good chemicals are often called hormones or neurotransmitters. They're a sign to activate the creative brain. So when you're feeling good, when you're feeling grateful, loving, excited, when you're in that flow state, that's your emotional brain saying it's all safe, go ahead, be the best that you can be. And the creative brain does its job and it does all these magic things for you. However, if the emotional brain sees a threat or a danger in your life, a real threat, it sends a different set of chemicals and it creates a different set of emotions, which is fear, stress, worry, anxiety. And that literally activates the survival, fight or flight instinct. And you might necessarily be in a state of total panic, but whenever you're feeling anxiety, stress or worry, what's actually happening is your emotional brain, even though it might not be there, but it's saying somehow it's interpreting your environment, there's a threat to your survival. But what happens when you activate this survival brain, which is activated only by feelings of stress, fear, worry and anxiety, is you shut down the creative brain. Because that's of no use in this situation. Your brain is telling you there's danger we've got to deal with. We've got to react. We've got to find a solution to the problem. There's a problem out there. We've got to find the answer to it. Your creative brain is not able to be used. And you can see the basic problem. And it was the problem I had for decades. In a stressed, worried, frustrated state, I was trying to create my life. I was trying to set goals. I was trying to figure out what to do. I was trying to...
It was all logical brain stuff, wasn't it?
It's totally logical. And what I realized was that part of your brain, the survival brain, you're expecting it to do things it's not designed to do. It can't do. It doesn't know what your goals are or what they should be. It doesn't know the right action you should take, which is why you keep making bad decisions. It doesn't know any of that. It's like a 15-year-old boy who's only good at throwing sticks or fighting. That's what it's there to do. It's a warrior. All of that wisdom.
One of the things I'm always fascinated. You know, the brain is an amazing organ, and it's great that you've sort of described it in such detail and the various functions. And one of the things the creative brain, as you describe it, it always amazes me. We're breathing, our heart's beating, our immune system is probably working 24/7 at 150% capacity, fighting off all kinds of infections and other parasites and other things that surround us that are actually dangerous, but it's being driven by the immune system, which is probably a creative brain activity. And all of that without us having to think about it, without us having to resort to the logical mind and say, well, how did I do that again? And those kind of things, it's so amazing. And yet with this amazing thing that we all have, we don't have an instruction manual. We don't have something that says, hey, if you go on stage to make a presentation and help a lot of people with the knowledge that you have or the expertise that you have, that is not a dangerous situation. You don't need to get into panic attacks and anxiety with that, which is the fight or flight response kicking in, right, at a time when it's of no use.
Well, you make a couple of interesting points there. One is you say, you mention about how the brain is working to protect us through our immune system. You know, science has a word for what is known as the perfect functioning of the organism, which is called homeostasis. And homeostasis is the natural state of all living things when everything is functioning perfectly. And that includes our immune system, and it also includes our emotional and mental state, so that we actually do the right things. We are in the state of perfect functioning. Our thoughts are functioning perfectly as well, if you like. And the other interesting thing you mentioned, you said we don't have an instruction manual. We actually do have an instruction manual. I was shocked to find out that all religious texts are instruction manuals on how to use the brain, in particular the Bible. You know, I was brought up a Catholic, and the first thing I really studied and tried to figure out how to find success was in religion, where it said, and my parents and my teachers said, well, it's easy. How you be successful and you get what you want is you just ask God for what you want. You pray and God will give it to you. But what I did, so I really did all that sort of thing, and I studied the Bible. And when I started to study how the brain worked, I thought, I've heard all of this before. There's some, this instruction on how to use your brain, it's actually so clearly laid out in the Bible that we miss it. Because it says in the Bible 365 times, someone counted, one for every day of the year, it says, be not afraid. And if fear, if feeling fear activates the wrong part of your brain, which is what it does, it activates the survival, fight, flight, limited part of your brain and shuts down your creative brain, then isn't that a great instruction? It's not a suggestion, it's an instruction. And it's like, I keep telling you this, don't, whatever you do, whatever the cost, don't be afraid. Because when you feel fear, doesn't matter the justification, when you feel fear, you're shutting down the creative part of your brain. And in the Bible, it says all sorts of other things about how to use our brain. It says, give no thought for tomorrow will look after itself. That's about not having fear. Do not worry about what you shall eat, drink, and wear. It'll all be provided for you. And the funny part about it is, that's what I found when I started using my creative brain, things did show up. I was provided for. I started off in my mid-40s with nothing, and all of these things were happening to bring all these coincidences, if you like, were starting to happen to get me back on my feet and get good things happening. So we do have this instruction manual, but because we don't understand how the brain actually works, we don't understand that that's what we're supposed to do. But it's a little bit
be not afraid is fine, and it's pretty clear instruction. But how do you do that? And yeah. I'm afraid I'm not a Bible scholar, so maybe it's in there as well. But all those kind of instructions that come from the various things I've studied, they kind of seem to me to appeal to the logical brain. Here's the information, here's the instructions. But the fight or flight mechanism, as you pointed out, kicks in instantaneously without, and it has to, without me consciously doing anything. So if I cross the road and there's a car coming at me at 100 miles an hour and I'm on the middle of the road, that fight or flight mechanism has got to kick in instantly and I've got to react instantly. And that's brilliant if it does that. If I get on stage in front of 1,000 people to do a presentation about something that only I know about, that fight or flight mechanism may well kick in there as well, because, yep. Hey, what happens if one or two of those people or even all 1,000 of those people think I'm full of it? Yep. But how do I get to the point of saying, this is the part where I need to use my creative brain. This is how I manage that. And there's a paradox, in a way, there's a paradox there, right? Because that step of managing that fight or flight mechanism costs microseconds that could endanger my life if I'm stuck out on the middle of the road with a car coming at me at 100 kilometers an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the key thing, and this is the basis of really what all my work and teaching is now. The key thing is there are two things about fear. There are two things that activate your fight or flight. One is something that's going on outside of you that makes you feel bad. Now, it might be standing up on stage, but it might be turning on the news and you see all this terrible, all these problems, and it makes you feel stressed and bad. Or it might be having a conversation with somebody that makes you feel bad. It might be being in a relationship that makes you feel stressed and worried. It might be having a part of your business that's not going well or an employee that's not doing well that makes you feel stressed and worried. So what you need to do, and it's very simple but not easy, you need to start eliminating all of the things in your life that are making you feel bad, that are making you feel stressed. That means turning off the TV. That means not having that conversation. It might mean ending that relationship or doing something about your business to get rid of the thing that's making you stressed. And you might say, well, that's difficult to do. But if you understand how your brain works and you trust that your brain will bring you far better things and you don't need to worry about it, then you're not going to worry about making those sorts of decisions. But the other thing in terms of what you're saying about, okay, but why do I feel stressed when I stand up on stage? Well, here's what happens. All of your life, remember I mentioned about the rational thinking brain, you've been accumulating all this information, all of these ideas, and when they're stored there, a lot of them aren't necessarily ideas that are good for you. And it might be that standing up on stage is really scary. You might have read something in the distant past about people being ridiculed, or you might have had an experience of being ridiculed. Maybe you're at school and you stood up and said something and everyone laughed at you in class. We don't know all of these things, but they're all stored in the logical thinking brain. And what the emotional brain does is when it's trying to make a decision about whether your environment is safe or not, it takes the information out of your rational thinking brain because that's how it makes sense. So it says, right, you've been in this situation before, but it was really bad. It could have harmed you. So this is a bad situation to be in. So literally what you've done all your life is you've programmed your brain to see dangers that aren't real threats to your survival. And that's what you need to do. You need to get back in and retrain your brain. And it's not a complicated process, but you need to find out what your unconscious fears are, why it's making you feel bad. You know, another good example is your wife comes to tell you they want a divorce. Now, does that make you feel really stressed and upset? Or do you go, okay, well, that's exciting. I didn't want her anyway. It depends on the situation. If your brain makes you feel stressed and worried and afraid, literally what your brain is saying, this situation is bad for you. It's a threat to your survival. It means you're going to end up, no one's going to love you again. You're going to end up on the rubbish heap under a bridge. You're going to lose everything. No, you're going to be a failure. You're going to have regrets. These are all ideas that your brain has picked up throughout your life. So you need to re-educate your brain to see the difference between a real threat to your survival and an imaginary threat.
And what I think that's a really, really important point. And one of the things you said earlier about eliminating the things that cause stress and cause anxiety and so on. I mean, the first part of that obviously is recognizing what is the cause. But one of the things I find really helpful is to say, well, what are the things I can control? Because I can do something about those. And then what are the choices I can make about those? And then what are the things that are out of my control that I can't really do anything about? And how can I not worry about those? So the perfect example of that in the conversation you brought up is turning on the news and seeing all the bad things happening in the world, right? Now, I can't change most of those bad things happening in the world. I can't really change those, certainly not directly, certainly not instantly. So is there any point in worrying about those bad things happening? Because I can't change it. But I can change one thing. I can turn off the TV. So taking that, okay, what can I influence and take that action? For me, I found that to be really helpful to eliminate a lot of those things that cause stress or things that cause problems. And you know, your divorce one was kind of, I don't know whether that was your experience, but sound a little flippant to me, but it is a perfect example of saying, okay, this has happened. How can I reframe this and how can this become an opportunity?
That's right. And, you know, the more you start to deactivate your fears, the more you start to get rid of your fears. And it was great for me when I lost everything because I got rid of my fears of not having anything. You know, because my brain suddenly went, why, you've been afraid of this all your life. And I've thought, my brain says, I've thought that if you lost everything, that would be the end of your life, that would be terrible. But here you are, life's not so bad. You've survived it. In other words, it was nothing to be afraid of at all in the first place. It was an imaginary fear. Because when you allow your creative brain to work, it's going to look after you. It's biologically programmed to make sure the best happens to you if you allow it to do its job. So you're never going to be in any danger from an imaginary fear. You just don't need to have those. So, but the important thing I think to realize, you know, you mentioned about the news and you say you can't control things, but what happens when you start to use your creative brain more and you live in this flow state, which is also a state of trusting and allowing and knowing that this infinite computer machine, which is designed for everything good to happen to you, it will do it if you allow it to do its job. Once you understand that, the more you live in that state, and the less you activate your fear state, your awareness shifts, your awareness changes. And one of the things you realize about the news is, how do you know it's true? How do you know what you're being told is true? We all know the biggest war is a war of propaganda to keep people on side. You realize none of it's true. I actually have my own podcast and I've done a whole episode about the fact that we've been misled throughout history about everything. None of it's true. So why would we bother watching it anyway? I haven't watched the news for 13 years. And it's funny, when I stopped watching it, that's when my life really started to turn around. It's just all irrelevant. You think it's relevant because of the way you've trained your brain through all of these beliefs. And you've spent your life.
Some of it is, like, we talk about living vicariously, right? We pick up on some good news story or some celebrity, for example, in these celebrity shows. I think that's their appeal, is that we kind of live vicariously through somebody else's perceived wonderful life, whether true or not, of course. But unconsciously, if we look at the news and see all this bad news stuff, we're kind of living vicariously in that environment, aren't we? So we're kind of like, you know, we're experiencing this war zone as if it was us in that, terrible as it is for those people that are actually in that. But it's
or not. Yeah. Maybe it's not terrible. Yeah. How do we, it's just a perspective. It's just a, just an opinion or a decision you've made, a judgment you've made on it, not you, but we make on an event or a perception of an event that we know nothing about. And how do we know it's not all staged? How do we know that the people aren't laughing? And how do we know it's not just a big money, a war is not just a big money machine and everyone's doing great? I mean, I'm not trying to sound flippant or sarcastic. I'm just saying it's all about perspective. We don't actually know the truth. We can never know the truth. And if you start looking nothing's been told the way it is throughout history. Yeah,
even if the report that you're watching is accurate, it's not complete, is it? It's never complete. It's only showing a very narrow focused bit because of the time constraints and the other constraints that are there. So it only shows a very narrow bit, which of course impacts how you feel about that, your judgments you make about that. But there's all this other stuff and you don't have that information.
No, all you have is the perspective of the person telling you the story, and you don't even know if they know what's going on.
Yeah.
And you also don't know if they don't have something they want you to believe about what they're saying. So it is all, and again, you know, some people say to me, oh, how can you stop watching the news and how can you just discount your problems? I'm not saying discount your problems, but one really important thing to realize about this whole fear thing, remember, this is biology. When you feel fear, stress, worry, anxiety, it's biologically guaranteed to put you in the wrong brain, to activate the wrong part of your brain to make you make the right decisions and be the best that you can be, switching off that part.
Well, Liam, I could talk about how wonderful the brain is for ages with you, and of course all the important things that you've highlighted here, how we need to remove fear and stresses from our life to be more successful and to have a worry-free life. But I think we'll leave something for the listener to discover on your website, and we'll link to that in a moment. I think it's a good point now to move on to the buzz, which is our innovation round, the same five questions I ask of every guest. And the idea is you'll give us a really insightful, snappy answers that will inspire the listener to go and do something awesome as a result today.
Okay.
You all set?
Yeah.
What's the number one thing anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
To realize that you are innovative, but what you're missing is allowing the innovative part of your brain to work. So what you really need to do is to start to understand how this machine works so that you can use it the best way possible.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of that is removing fear, as you mentioned earlier, right?
Well, you know, I think what I'm trying to emphasize is this is a mechanical process. We're not talking here about sort of changing your beliefs or changing some theoretical idea about the mind. This is biology. This is as biological. You are as programmed, your brain is as programmed to make your life the best that you can be, just as your heart is programmed to keep beating or your lungs are programmed to keep breathing. There's no mystery about this. This is pure biology, and that's why it works. It works in a guaranteed way if you use it the right way.
Yeah, yeah. All right. And what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
Well, lose everything and realize that you need to let go. You need to take a different approach. Realize that all of the struggle, all the trying to figure things out, all that does is block you. It keeps you using the wrong part of your brain. So when I lost everything, became homeless, that gave me the opportunity to say, I need to do something different and I need to give up. I need to give up the struggle. And when you do, you're not giving up your control, but you're actually passing your control to the real part of you. So that was the best thing that ever happened to me. It was a great lesson. And I'm sure anyone who's been through a big crisis in their life can probably look back and say it was one of the greatest things that happened to them, because it teaches you so much.
Yeah, and often we feel a bit sorry for ourselves when something like that happens initially, right? And yet there's a big opportunity there. yeah, absolutely. So I guess recognizing those moments when you don't need to get to rock bottom, recognizing those moments that are setbacks and taking those as opportunities to change course or to let go of fear or expectations.
Yeah, there's an easier way to do it than hitting rock bottom, and that's really what I've back-engineered into a process which I call brain rebalancing, which I teach. So you don't have to hit rock bottom, but it certainly doesn't hurt hitting rock bottom. It's you know, it's all good.
Yeah.
Everything's good.
Excellent. You'll be safe, yeah. All right. Do you have a favorite resource you use most often?
Well, this is an interesting one. My favorite resource is actually my creative brain. And one of the things I do, and it is first thing in the morning, just as I'm waking up, and last thing at night when I'm just about to go to sleep, when my thinking brain is shut down, I start to ask myself questions and have a conversation. And I don't do this, I've actually turned it into a bit of a habit, but maybe I'd suggest to people who are listening to try this, just when you're in a relaxed state, which is often first thing in the morning or last thing at night, just start to ask yourself some questions, and you will be amazed at what an incredibly insightful, wise conversation you will have with your creative brain that's going to bring you information and ideas. You're going to think, how did I think of that? Where did that come from? And you'll start to realize that this really is a resource. This really is something that you have, an intelligence that you can use that is going to give you far better results than just trying to struggle through everything all the time.
Hmm. Do you have that conversation in your head or do you do it out loud?
Both. Usually in my head. I don't want to wake my partner up. Yeah. You can do it in your head, and you find yourself doing this, or I find myself doing this at all sorts of times. It's like you really do develop this conversation, and this, what you're really developing is a relationship with yourself, with your true self, not this, you know, battle that we often have in our brain and our mind all the time, but you're actually starting to understand who you really are. So that's my greatest resource, and I think it's everybody's greatest resource. Well,
I was just going to say, you know, understanding who you really are, it's really developing some self-awareness, isn't it? Because I find myself a lot, and probably it happens more than I'm aware, but it happens a lot, is there'll be an idea pops into my head. And I actually have that kind of conversation usually in my head. Let's say, well, where did that come from? Yeah. Or why did that pop up right now? And asking those questions and delving into that, I can kind of understand more as to why did my brain serve up that idea right now? Yeah. And usually there's some sort of connection back to something else that provides me value in some form or other.
Yes, and we have this resource on tap all of the time. It's the way we're supposed to live.
You know? Excellent. All right. Now, what's the best way to keep a client on track when you work with them?
Just continue to have them monitor how they're feeling. What is their relationship with the present moment? Are you letting fear creep into your life? Is there something that's in your environment there right now that's making you feel anxious, afraid, and worried? And a really good, And a really good little tip I say to people is when you're feeling stressed, or when you start to feel that emotion of stress, yes, you're activating the wrong part of your brain, and so therefore you're limiting yourself. But a good thing to ask yourself is there a threat to my survival right now? What is the threat to my survival right now? Because your brain is telling you that there is. And when you can start to become aware and say, well, there actually isn't any threat to my survival, or what I'm thinking about is not a threat to my survival, you can start to teach your brain the difference between real and imaginary threats. And then you find that you activate that, you catch that fear-based part of your brain out a bit, and you make it realize there's nothing to be afraid of. You don't need to be worried, stressed, and anxious. And as you do that, your awareness shifts, it raises, you use your creative brain more, and life goes a lot better rather than being held back by that, these feelings of stress and fear, and thinking that somehow we can use that to break through, which we never can.
So it's not kind of feel the fear and do it anyway. It's really analyze, is there a threat to my life here, and should I be feeling fear or not?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, feel the fear and do it anyway. That doesn't really work, because what you're doing is reacting to a situation. So what you need to do is get into a space where you are responding to a situation by having a clear picture of what's actually going on. And what's actually going on, you can only see when you're not feeling afraid, stressed, and worried. Yeah. When you're afraid, stressed, and worried, your brain will only be able to see all of the things that are bad about the situation, which isn't the reality. It's just a perspective. And that's not going to help you. Wonderful. Bottom line is that it's just not going to help you move forward with your life when you're in that state.
Yeah, wonderful. That's a really interesting way to reframe a situation where we're feeling that stress and maybe remove it very quickly. It probably happens very quickly once you practice it a little bit.
You know, this is a new habit. You know, people say, for instance, if you want to lose a lot of weight, you know you have to create new habits, and you know that it's not going to happen instantly. So you start by understanding and learning, what do I need to do that's going to give me a long-term effect of losing weight, because it's not going to happen instantly. So you learn about it, and then you practice it, and you make mistakes, and you do it wrong, and you eat the wrong things, but gradually you do it better, and gradually you see better results. So this is exactly the same with your brain, because you've been training and trained yourself since the day you were born to use it the wrong way, to think that you've got to struggle, you've got to figure things out, that life's hard, there's all these bad things out there. We've been, you know, this is a different habit, rather than saying, I've got to create a new habit of using this different part of my brain. So it does take time, but it's like losing weight or anything worthwhile. You know, it is totally worthwhile.
And small steps and consistency.
And it's the only way. It is literally the only way. As I discovered, I spent decades trying to do it the old way, and it didn't work.
Excellent. All right. What's the number one thing anyone could do to differentiate themselves?
Be yourself. Trust your creative brain. Can I just mention one other thing about your creative brain and about who you are? Because we're all on this mission of saying, well, I'll copy what someone else does. If they're successful, I'll do what they do. But literally what your brain is a decoding machine. And what it decodes is all of the information that is unique about you that is contained within every cell of your body in something called your DNA. Your DNA is a blueprint for who you really are, and it has more than 250 million pieces of information about who you are. And you're different to everyone else. So your brain, what it's trying to do is literally turn you into the best person that you can be by creating your DNA into physical form. So it's literally saying, those 250 million pieces of information, how can I turn that into that best person? So you don't know what those 250 million pieces of information are, but your creative brain does, and it's constantly striving to make you the best expression of that. So when you're trying to copy someone else or imitate or do anything like that, you're going against nature. You're not allowing your true self to come out. And you're not trusting that your brain is looking for the best for you. It knows what you want far more than you do. It knows what you need. So you need to allow this decoding machine to work. And when you do, I think one of the things that is really surprising to people who've worked with me through this process is just how different their life becomes. You know, they end up doing things that they never dreamt they'd be doing. But they're all good things. They're all much better things. They're much better things than they ever would have thought of themselves. So this is really something powerful at work here that we need to acknowledge and use.
Yeah. And I think it's a really important point that imitating or copying others is not the best way to learn. Yes, modeling from people is a really powerful way to learn. And continuing that learning journey is very important, but doing it in a way that's consistent with your own DNA. And as you say, what's the population of the world right now? 7 or 8 billion people. Yeah. And you and I are 1 in 7 or 800 billion. 7 or 8 billion, which, pretty fascinating thought, isn't it?
I mean, it doesn't mean we can't learn from other people, but one of the things we need to do is rather than try and learn things, allow your brain, your creative brain, to bring to you the information that you need when you need it. You know, you don't need to go out sort of trying to chase information. Just allow, and it will, it'll bring exactly what you need to know at exactly the right time. And it might be in the form of another person or an experience or a book or a video, whatever it is, it'll show up for you rather than this, you know, constant need many people have. They've got to consume more information and learn more just for the sake of it. It's counterproductive.
Yeah, yeah. And it's often dilutes focus as well, doesn't it? Mm. Well, all right. Well, thanks, Liam.
Energy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it saps energy. Well, thanks, Liam. This has been fabulous. Now, where can people find out more about the work you do and maybe even reach out and say thanks for what you've shared with us today?
Yeah, what I'd like to share with your people listening actually is a special website I have, and you'll probably put it in the show description, but it's called letyourselfoffthehook.com, Let Yourself Off the Hook. And maybe if people are on their phone or whatever, they could go there right now and have a look, because there you can sign up for a free webinar that I have where I go into detail about how all this stuff works and how you can easily shift from this stress-based state to a productive state using your brain differently and really getting a completely different experience of life and seeing your results accelerate. Because this is what happens. It's not just you feel better, but the outside's better as well. You make far more progress. So that's at letyourselfoffthehook.com. And as I say, it's all free. It's a webinar where I go into detail about this in a fun and interesting way. So that's the best place to find me. Can I just ask you, actually, you and yourself, I mean, from what we've been talking about, I'd be curious to know what your aha moment is or what you've really thought stood out about what we've talked about. Is there anything in particular?
I guess one of the things that's stood out for me is this idea, and it I've sort of connected it with self-awareness, this idea of having those conversations in your head and analyzing. So if you're holding back from doing something, working out it's probably fear, or if I'm feeling stress, I know when I'm feeling stressed, it may come back to fear, and actually asking that question of what's the threat here? What's threatening my life? Or is it really a threat? And connecting that with that self-awareness piece. I think that was the biggest aha for me in the whole conversation today.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Mm. So certainly we'll have the link for that free webinar in the show notes. So that's very generous, Liam, and I appreciate that. Now, what action would you like our listener to take out of today's conversation, apart from signing up for that webinar and learning more?
You know, I think we have an overemphasis on action and far too little emphasis on awareness. Because when you keep thinking, I need to take action, what do I do next? That's all your survival brain talking, because you think, because it needs an instant result. But what we need to focus on is awareness, learning more, being more aware of how things work in our life and in our world, and realizing that right action, the right things to do, will happen as a result of that. So I think we need really, it's a mind shift, if you like, and we're talking about a brain shift here. That's what we've been talking about all along. But really it is a shift from saying, I need to do something, to I need to create an awareness and allow the right thing to happen, whether it's from me doing something or someone else doing something to me. I need to trust more by understanding the process. So that's the big thing, to start saying, I'm not going to try and do something. I'm going to try and become more aware of something. Mm. And that involves a little bit of learning and thinking, I'm going to find out more about this stuff, about how it all works.
Hmm. A little bit of introspection, and there's the self-awareness piece again. Yeah, my business coach often uses the term, we spend a lot of our time as a human doing rather than a human being. And the being part is, I think, sort of actually that self-awareness and being aware of what's happening inside of us and around us and the impact that's having.
Absolutely.
So thanks so much for sharing your time and your insight so generously with us today, Liam. This has been a fascinating conversation. I've learned a lot. I've shared my aha moment.
Thank you.
And I'm sure there'll be some others come up when I listen back as a listener rather than as a participant in the conversation. So I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward, of course, to sharing it with our audience. So all the best for the future, and please do stay in touch.
Thanks, Jürgen. Definitely will. Thanks very much for having me.
Thanks for listening. We'd love you to leave a review on this episode. It will help us to make the podcast better for you. Simply go to lovethepodcast.com/InnovaBuzz and pick your preferred platform. Remember to visit innovabiz.co/flywheel and secure your membership to the exclusive Flywheel Nation community, where you'll enjoy direct access to our incredible podcast guests, engaging meaningful conversations, and participate in connection events designed to elevate your business journey. Don't miss out. Join Flywheel Nation today. Tune in again to the next episodes of the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we've got yet more fantastic guests lined up. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.